As it is Memorial Day weekend, I remember to wear my patriotic tie, and I see a few of you remember to do the same. We are going to open the service this morning with our national anthem, so if you would rise, please, and sing it here off the screen. Bet you didn't know there were other verses to the Star Spangled Banner. We're going to sing the second one, which is particularly relevant, I believe. On the second. Brother Dick, would you open our service in prayer?
Heavenly Father, help us to open our hearts and minds, Lord, and take the word of the word to speak to our hearts and motivate us. Help us to move us forward and prepare the world around us for the gospel. Help us, Heavenly Father, to bring it to our lips every day. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
One, and we'll sing together America the Beautiful.
Thank you.
Amen. Amen. As believers in Christ, our first allegiance, far above all, is Jesus Christ, our Savior. And our citizenship is where? In heaven. This is a place we're just passing through. However, having said that, we were blessed. We are blessed to have been born in the United States of America, where God was honored and revered and given glory and credit for what he did, beginning over 300 years ago, to make a place where he could freely be worshiped. Praise the Lord, we still do have that freedom today. And one, sadly, which we have greatly taken for granted, I am afraid. Every one of these verses, particularly, I like the "In God we trust" from the second verse of the Star-Spangled Banner. But we choose them not today because they praise the United States, but they praise the God who blessed this place, so that, not that he could make a nation hear to his name, but so that the gospel could go forth and souls could hear of the love of Jesus Christ and of the eternal home in heaven that he has made for them. And we praise the Lord for that today. And we praise the Lord for those who have put their life at risk, who have given their lives, that we might continue to have that freedom here today to worship and to praise the Lord who has done so, so much for us. And so we do, it is fitting to take a moment to remember, to focus on Memorial Day and the wonderful and great things that God has done in this place for his name's sake. And pray, as God's children, as the salt and light on this earth and in this place today, that we will be that salt and light, and that we will bring honor to our Savior, and that we will not miss out on the opportunities we have been given to worship him and to spread the good news of the gospel in this place. What the United States needs is not a new president or a new party. It needs a Savior. It needs revival. And so we need to pray and continue to pray for that every day, as we also pray for those who serve us and put their lives on the line for this place that God has blessed also. Announcements. Announcements. If you have a bulletin this morning, up on the right side, we're going to start a series on Sunday morning, just because I haven't done it for a while, on the ministry, the earthly ministry of Christ. And Christ's earthly ministry, as is quoted in Scripture, begins at his baptism. No, his incarnation in his life as Jesus, as the God-man, begins back at in Luke 1 and 2 and Matthew 1. But we're going to pick up with where he begins his earthly ministry at the age of 30 today, from Matthew chapter 3. So if you want to find Matthew chapter 3, we will be there in a few minutes as we begin to take some time to look specifically at the ministry of our Savior and what we can learn from it and what we should in the coming months. This coming week, we already had Sunday school. If you missed it, that's too bad, but you do have a chance again next week. So 10 o'clock. Please return tonight at 6 p.m., lessons on wisdom from Proverbs. And so we're going to be picking out some wisdom from the book of Proverbs in the evening services. So if you can, join us for that. There is a VBS organizational meeting following the AM service today. We'll meet right down here at the front on my left, your right, for that meeting. So it won't be very long, but I need to know who might be interested in helping with Vacation Bible School. If you'll look down the page there, in green down below, Vacation Bible School, July 20th through the 24th. It is in the evenings from 6:30 to 8:45, 5 years old through eighth grade. We do have some who have already volunteered, but if that is you and you are here, please still stay for the meeting as we need to begin figuring out who will do what, okay? And so that is after the morning service briefly. This morning there is choir practice tonight following the evening service. So if you're in the choir, stay. We're going to practice a song that we'll sing next week after the service this evening. So choir practice after the evening service. Wednesday night, as usual, Joy Club. It is, however, the last week of Joy Club. And so thank you, you that have helped with Joy Club throughout the year. seeing as it is the last week of Joy Club this coming Wednesday, the following Wednesday, we will be having adult prayer meeting and Bible study, primarily prayer meeting, on Wednesday nights in the fellowship hall. So if you can come and join us at 7 o'clock on Wednesdays in the fellowship hall, we'll be having a prayer meeting, and I hope that many of you will come to that over the summer. And then 11 a.m. Bible study Thursday, as usual. We are reviewing in there. It's a fun time. We start back in Genesis. Takes about 4 weeks to review up through Colossians that we just finished. Review week, if you want to catch up, it's a good time. 11 a.m. on Thursdays, men's Bible study. The 29th, that's this Friday at the Polars. So men, please get that on your calendar if you haven't. That is this coming Friday at our house for men's Bible study. And then fifth Sunday service is next Sunday night. We'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper, having a song and testimony service, followed by an ice cream social. It seems fitting as it has suddenly gotten quite warm. Okay, and then ladies' brunch and swim at Jules' house, 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday, June 13th. There will be a sign-up list in a week or two for that event coming up on June the 13th. And then again, VBS. Please pray for our missionaries. We'll go back with putting an individual missionary of the week beginning again in June. But I put this in here also as a reminder that we set our goal for missions this coming year based upon what comes in the month of May. And so we ask that you pray and seek the Lord's will concerning what you might give for this coming year to missions. Give that monthly portion in the month of May. We'll set our goal, and then we'll see if we can raise some of the support of our missionaries or take on a new one based upon those goals. And so I am grateful for many in our church who do give a good bit to missions. These flags that are up here, I'll take them down again the end of the month. But the flags on the sides represent the countries where we have, countries and states where we currently have missionaries. And if you want some more detailed information, you can look on the board in the back corner. There are prayer reports, missionary reports back there on the table, along with you can see their prayer card and where they are ministering in the world. And so please pray for that, and just want to keep that before you through the month of May. So I believe that's all the announcements I have. I think so. All right. So let's stand and let's sing this song together, 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, standing, please. Amen. Take a moment to welcome somebody nearby to the service today. Sing it through once again as we find our way back to our places. Yeah. Amen. You may be seated. A couple other things I wanted to mention before we move to our final hymn here, Battle Hymn of the Republic, this morning. I am impressed with the people that sit on my left, because the left side used to look like the right side does now, and you have more filled out your side there. But in doing so, the right side has become more sparse, and so we just need to fill up both sides. So if we could work on that, because it used to be I was out of balance to the right, and now when I'm preaching, I'm out of balance to the left, and we really need to fill up both sides, and so appreciate your help on that. Couple other things. Lucas Asbury graduated from high school so, this week on Friday. Got to go to his graduation, and congratulations to Lucas and his family, and pray for the Lord's guidance in his life in the coming year as to where the Lord would lead him. And another note, Noel, who has been coming for, I don't know, a couple years now, Noel? Over a year. She is moving to Maine, and so she's been looking for another place to live in the area, but the Lord didn't open up those doors here, but instead opened them up in Maine. And so I don't know, you know, there's not a happy balance between the furthest north on the East Coast and the furthest south on the East Coast. But anyway,
it's cold.
Yeah. Yes. So pray for Noelle as she makes that move. You're moving this week? Yes, moving this week to Maine. She does have some relatives up that direction. So that's good. We will continue to keep you and your family in our prayers. She has a granddaughter that is in serious condition, 14 years old, in the hospital. her name is Sierra. We can pray for her as well. Let's take a moment and pray for these. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for bringing Noelle our way over a year ago. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for what you've done in her life despite the difficulties and the trials. And we thank you, Lord, for providing a place for her, though we wish it were here. Lord, you must have a purpose, and we pray, Lord, that that purpose would be clearly revealed to Noelle, Lord, that she would find a good church up in Maine, that you would continue to restore her health, Lord, and to bring healing to her body. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to minister to her and with her here. We pray, Lord, for her granddaughter, Sierra, for her healing, for your healing hand, your mighty power to be upon her in the hospital today. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Lucas and bringing the Asbury family into our congregation. We pray, Lord, that you would guide and direct in Lucas's life, that he might know your will, Lord, that you might just bless him immensely, Lord. And we thank you for our church here, Lord, and the privilege to testify of the grace of Jesus Christ in this place. And we pray that you would bless our service here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing another song, the Battle Hymn of the Republic. It's 530 in your hymn book. And if you can, stand once more if you would. You may be seated, and Brother Robert is going to come up and sing a song this morning. Thank you, Brother Robert. Children can be dismissed for children's church. That's you, Chloe. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. We're going to read down, we're going to read through Matthew chapter 3. It's helpful to have the context as we begin our study on Sundays in the earthly ministry of Christ. In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees, therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him, permitted him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's pray once again. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, thank you for our Savior. Lord, thank you for this example that was given here for us to follow, and even more so for the death of Christ on the cross that did follow as we begin the ministry here. Lord, with reminder of that which is to come at the end of Christ's earthly ministry and his humble willingness to follow through for us that we might be saved. Lord, bless our service today and may Christ be exalted. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Four main points from the passage this morning. First of all, we see Jesus leaving his home in Galilee to accept his ministry. Well, Jesus, Son of God, accepted this ministry before actually The Bible says the foundation of the what? Of the world. God knew when he created Adam and Eve and gave them agency, free will to choose what they would do, that they sadly would choose to take of the tree off of that, to take of the fruit off that tree, to disobey the Savior and to cast humanity into sin. As is appointed on man once to die. As in Adam all what? Die, praise the Lord, in Christ shall all be what? Made alive. Jesus took on that mission before the foundation of the world. And preceding his incarnation, or in his incarnation, we're told in Philippians 2, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found as a man, in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And so God became a man, born in a little stable, little town of Bethlehem, yet worshipped by the angels and worshipped by the shepherds and worshipped by the kings who would come some months later. For he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. However, Jesus' childhood was in some ways similar to our childhood. The incarnation is an incredible miracle, and that God can take on human form and grow up as a child is an incredible miracle that is beyond, I do believe, our understanding. But yet it was the miracle that God gave to us, that we might know him and that he might redeem us. And at the age of 30, we're told in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, that was indeed the age at which Jesus traveled from Galilee down to Judea to the Jordan River. Jesus now comes to begin publicly his earthly ministry as who? As Jesus Christ. Now, we say Christ as though it's his last name, okay? It is not. Saying Jesus Christ is the same as saying Jesus the Messiah. And at his baptism, he begins his earthly ministry. He is publicly accepts and identifies himself as the Messiah of Israel, the long-awaited Messiah who had come to save his people from their what? From their sins. There, John, a cousin called the Baptist, was baptizing people in this river, this nasty, muddy river, and it is still a nasty, muddy river today. Our sins are nasty and vile before God, but praise the Lord, they can be washed away, and not by the waters of the Jordan River, but by the blood of Jesus Christ spilled for us on Calvary's cross. But this is, again, as many pictures throughout the Old Testament scriptures leading up to, they are a shadow, the Bible calls it, leading up to the reality. The old giving way to the new covenant as fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. John is baptizing people in the river, mainly Jews, as they repented of their sins. The waters, of course, did not truly wash away their sins, but they were an important symbol of such, as purification in water was necessary for the priests and others who had been defiled before approaching the Lord and worshiped. And he took that symbolism from the Old Covenant and he applied it here as a sign of people's repentance as they went down. They were making a public declaration of humbling themselves in faith and repentance before God, preparing for the coming of who? Of the Messiah. In John's day, Jews were fully immersing Gentile converts as a public show of their full repudiation of their former pagan ways to follow the God of Israel. The Jews were baptizing Gentiles who had come to faith in the God of Israel. And as they were doing that, they were immersing them, their whole body, in water as a sign of their leaving their pagan ways and beliefs and full-heartedly turning in faith to the God of Israel. John had taken this and applied it not to the Gentiles, but to who? But to the Jews. He was calling the Jews to come and to be baptized in a similar fashion by immersion as they repented of their sins and their wickedness to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. A mission that was uniquely given to John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord. And so John was being obedient in that calling as he turned people to the Lord and preached repentance of sin. Number two, we not only see Jesus coming to John from Galilee and who John was, but John states his surprise at Jesus' desire to be baptized. So if you look again in verse 14, and John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me. So when Jesus shows up before John, says, okay, I am here to be baptized, baptize me. And John says, No, what do you mean, me baptize you? Shouldn't you be baptizing me? The one who needs to repent here is clearly me. The one who does not seem to need to repentance here is who? Is you. And yet you come to me to be baptized. John, being Christ's cousin, knew him. leaped in his mother's womb when Mary came to visit Elizabeth. We read about in Luke 1. We do not know the extent of John and Jesus' interaction since their birth to this day, but John did seem to be aware of the unique character of Christ and may have been thinking he might indeed be the Messiah, though it had not yet been confirmed to John. And thus John is surprised. You don't need to repent. You don't need to be baptized. It would be more fitting to be the other way around. John recognized Jesus to be of superior moral character to himself, resulting in the humble yet accurate statement by John and his reluctance to baptize Jesus. It was natural for John to respond in this way, knowing Jesus, knowing his character and his reputation, that he was a righteous man, that that it should be the other way around. At Christ's baptism, John's conclusion concerning his cousin, or at least thought, I believe, that he might be the Messiah, was verified, following which he could say with no reservations that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. As he declared, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The one he had been called of God to introduce to the world. The purpose of his unique life and calling to be the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, preparing the way for the Lord, was fulfilled at Jesus' baptism. As he baptized him, as we'll see in a moment, and as he introduced him as the Messiah of Israel and the Savior of the world and the Lamb of God who would be slain. John had fulfilled, as he told others, he must increase, but I must what? but I must decrease. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That is all but one. And who is the one? The God-man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who took on human flesh to die not for his sins, but for whose? But for ours. It seemed that John recognized that and certainly did following the baptism of Jesus. And it is something that we must acknowledge. Apart from Jesus Christ and faith in the Son of God, there is no what? There is no salvation. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And apart from the recognition and confession in faith that Jesus is Lord and Savior, there is no salvation from sin, as pictured here by John. And then let's look in verse 15 at Jesus' answer. Jesus' answer. John says, why would you want me to? This seems backwards. Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, or permit it to be so now, for thus it becometh, is fitting, us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he, that is John, suffered him, allowed him, baptized him. So we see Jesus' answer. He says, allow me to be baptized. Yes, John, I get it, but allow me to be baptized. There is a reason. Allow me to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. Jesus Christ came into the world, the righteous Son of God, to impart righteousness to all those who believe in Him. Whereas we have failed again and again and again to fulfill the will of our Creator and Father in heaven, Jesus Christ did not fail. He did not fail. And every action recorded in the Scripture and every action and word that He spoke was according to the will of the Father. It was taken in righteousness, in contrast to the unrighteousness of man for whom He would die. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in Him. Every righteous ordinance, Jesus would be obedient to. Acknowledging the baptism of John was under the authority of who? Under the authority of God. John's baptism wasn't just some odd religious practice. It was given him of God. This mission to prepare hearts for the coming of the Messiah and to point them to who? And to point them to Jesus. Do we have a similar calling today to point people to Jesus? Yes, we do. We who know have been verified in our hearts by faith that Jesus is the Son of the living God and the Savior of the world, have also the same responsibility to point people to Jesus Christ as did John. It is a commission given us by who? By God, to preach the gospel in all the world. And we are to fulfill that ordinance as John fulfilled his. And Jesus gave credence to that by coming to John to be baptized of him. Also, Jesus came to fulfill the command, the ordinance of his Father in heaven. To be what? Obedient. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus came, as he said again and again, to do the will of his Father in heaven. And thus it behooved him to fulfill all righteousness, to do the will of his Father now. In chapter 4, he will do the will of his Father again as he is led off into the wilderness. For 40 days he would fast. During that time, Satan would tempt. Satan would say, "Turn this stone to bread." And Jesus, who had fasted for 40 days, would not step outside of the will of his Father in heaven, but humbled himself and said to the enemy, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God," out of the mouth of the Father. And so too, Jesus came humbly, obediently, to begin his ministry to John the Baptist, to be baptized of John in the dirty Jordan River, to fulfill all righteousness. By receiving John's baptism, Jesus as an adult publicly accepted the commission of his Father and identified himself as the Messiah. As Jesus went down in those waters and came out, he publicly accepted. Now, he had already accepted before the foundation of the world. He had already accepted when he left heaven to become a baby. But now, on earth, as a man, 30 years old, by the way, interesting enough, that's the minimum age for a priest under the old covenant. You couldn't be a priest till you hit what? 30 years of age. Who is the high priest for all today? Jesus Christ. He is our high priest. He started his ministry in service to the Lord publicly at the same age as the minimum age for a priest. He accepted his Father's commission and he identified himself as the Messiah. There is to be no doubt, beginning here and throughout the Gospels, Jesus declares again and again and again who he is. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the Savior of the world. He is God in human flesh. Of that, he is publicly declaring, not just by word, but in action at his baptism. As the Father declares from heaven, "This is my what? Beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And while he is publicly accepting his commission of the Father and identifying himself as the Messiah, Jesus is also publicly identifying himself with who? With you and with me. As Jesus went down in those waters, he is identifying himself also with us. There's one mediator between God and man. And that is the man who? Christ Jesus. He is identified again and again as the Son of God. But one of his favorite titles for himself is the Son of Man. He became one of us. And as he went down in those waters of baptism, he identified himself with us, sinners, for whom he came to die, as we, by Christian baptism, identify ourselves with him. He identified with us. And now we have the privilege to identify with him. And in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And as Christ identified with us and identified the manner in which he would save us by his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. We identify with him as believers as we go down into the water, picturing the death of our old life in Christ and are raised to walk with Christ in newness of life. There is clearly only one mode of baptism that is consistent with Scripture. It is not sprinkling. It is not pouring. It is what? It is immersion. A matter of fact, the word baptizo in Greek that is translated baptize means to what? To immerse. That's what the word means. Why? Because it pictures the death, burial, and resurrection. Not just the cleansing of sin, but also the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so Jesus said, baptize me, John. To fulfill all righteousness, baptize me. And so John did. And in verse 16, it tells us of him coming up out of the water. Obviously, he was dunked down in the water. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. As Jesus came up out of that water, as he publicly accepted the commission of his Father and identified himself as the Savior of the world, God the Father testified and the Spirit testified that he is indeed the Son of God and the Messiah. As the Spirit of God descended upon him as a dove, Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, we read this. Isaiah, Old Testament, foretelling the coming of the Messiah. Isaiah says, therefore, let's say that's not the right verse. Okay. Let me read it out of here. Right reference. Isaiah 11, 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Upon who? The Messiah. That's who Isaiah is talking about. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord will rest upon. And in a visual way, God allowed the Spirit to be seen in the form of a dove, resting upon his Son, upon Jesus Christ, to verify that the one that Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 11, 2 is the one that came up out of that water, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. A matter of fact, if you'll turn back to John 1, turn over to John 1, John 1, John the Baptist said this, John 1, 29. John 1, 29. The next day, after Jesus' baptism, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh the man, which is preferred before me, for he was before me. Well, how was that? I mean, Jesus was born after John. Well, how was that? Well, because Jesus didn't begin at his conception or his birth. Jesus is eternal. Verse 31, John says, and I knew him not. In other words, John did not know for sure that Jesus was who? The Messiah before baptism. May have thought he might be, thought he was someone special anyway, but didn't know. He said, I knew him not. I didn't know he was the Messiah, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but that he sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, and he's speaking of God, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And praise God, Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost, who seals us and saves us and regenerates us and gives us new life and sticks with us. Praise the Lord. And I saw and bear record, verse 34, that this is, speaking of Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus came up out of that water. The Spirit descended upon him, verifying to all who knew the Scripture and to John specifically that Jesus is the Messiah. And if that, as if that was not enough, the voice of God from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Can there be no doubt that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel, and the Savior of the world? Even God Himself testified, the Father Himself testified from heaven that He is the Son of God. As the Father acknowledges Christ's obedience and His acceptance of His ministry, the ministry of Jesus on earth begins. Why is this significant today? Well, it declared the obedience of Christ to the Father's will in accepting His calling, as it is pictured in baptism, to die for us who indeed need repentance and salvation through faith in Him. Why is it as significant? Number two, it is the announcement of the beginning of His public ministry, which we will follow in the coming weeks. Jesus' ministry culminated in His death and resurrection, but there is more to it than that. It began, His earthly ministry begins here at His baptism. Number three, it identified Christ with humanity and the vicarious death He would die for it. In Mark 10:45, and I do have that up here, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." As Christ identified Himself with us, for whom He would die on that cross, to bring us back to God and to give us eternal life in Him. And number four, why is it significant? He gave us an example to follow. He gave us an example to follow. That by baptism, immersion, publicly, we might identify ourselves with our Savior. The waters of baptism do not wash away sins. The waters of baptism, the act of baptism, does not save the soul. They testify to a soul that has been saved through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who died on a cross and rose again from the dead to save all those who come to Him in faith. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Jesus gave us that example when He went down into those waters, that we should follow Him and do the same. As He identified with us, that we might identify publicly with Him, as is only just and right. That we might be obedient in our walk with Christ as children of God, as Jesus was obedient to the will of His Father in fulfilling all righteousness. We too should be obedient in following Him in believers' baptism. Matthew 28:18-20 we read this. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach. That word teach means to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. As Peter stood up to preach on the day of Pentecost, the people said, What must we do? He said, Repent. For you cannot be saved unless you what? Repent and turn to Christ in faith. And then he adjured them to testify of that saving faith by being what? By being baptized. In that day, 3,000 souls were saved, and it would appear that 3,000 souls were also what? Were also baptized, identifying themselves with the Savior who identified himself with them, and publicly taking a stand, confessing Jesus Christ as Lord, as should every believer in Christ do also, to bring glory to our Father in heaven, who gave his Son for us, that he might redeem us unto himself, not through the waters of baptism, but by his death upon the cross, not through being dunked in water, but by putting our faith in him to redeem us and to save us. The question this morning is not first and foremost, have you been baptized? I don't know how many people I have asked, when did you get saved? And they said, oh, I got baptized when I was... It's like, okay, hold on a second. When did you get saved? When were you born again? When did you trust Christ? Now, could they have trusted Christ and been baptized in the same day, at the same time? Yes, that is indeed very possible. But you can be dunked in this baptistry up here 1,000 times, and if you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ and called upon him to be your Lord, then you're just very, very, very wet. Okay. The question first and foremost today is, have you received Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you accepted his offer of salvation by putting your faith in the shed blood and resurrection of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? If you have done that and you have yet to be baptized, it would behoove you to do so. It would be fitting, as it was for Christ, to declare your allegiance publicly and your desire to walk with Christ in newness of life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you do not ask us to do anything that you were not willing to do. Lord, that you gave us this example, and even more so that you died on the cross for our sins. And we pray, Lord, if there be one here today that is yet to receive Christ as Savior, that today would be their day of salvation, that they would come as we sing this hymn of invitation. And Lord, if you have worked in our hearts in any way today, I pray, Lord, that we would not shut you out, but that we might take a moment today to talk with you, to humble ourselves before you, and to follow you in each and every aspect of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you take your hymn books, turn to hymn number 249. 249, and stand with me if you would to sing Just As I Am Without One Plea. Standing, please. The Lord has spoke to your heart. Please come. I'll meet you right down here this morning. Don't walk out those doors without Jesus. Amen. Amen. Brother Robert, would you close our service in prayer today?
Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for allowing us to be here and to worship you with those around us. And thank you for the message we had, Lord. I pray that we heard what you would have us to hear. And Lord, also just be with Noelle. She has this big move ahead of her. And help us to go safely and smoothly. And be with the rest of us this week as well. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.